W22 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We are following breaking news in Nevada, where police are on the campus at the University of Las Vegas following reports of an active shooting involving multiple victims. Students there have been alerted to run, hide, fight. President Biden's doubling down and urging Congress to pass much-needed aid for Ukraine.
We are prepared to stay with us, stay with Ukraine, and our European friends are as well. Who in the United States is prepared to walk away from that? I tell you, I'm not prepared to walk away.
Republicans want tougher border measures. A mass exodus now in Gaza, CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Hundreds of thousands of civilians forced from the north now ordered to evacuate Khan Yunis immediately. But aid agencies say they're running out of places to escape the onslaught.
And the man who created Archie Bunker has died.
You are a meathead.
Norman Lear was 101 years old. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Abortion rights are effectively restored in Wisconsin after a Dane County judge's ruling yesterday, but State Attorney General Josh Call says he expects the ruling to be appealed.
I expect that it likely will be, and so other courts will weigh in on this. But for now, this is a major win for reproductive freedom in Wisconsin, and we are prepared to defend that victory and reproductive freedom as we move forward.
Judge Diane Shipler says Wisconsin's law enacted in 1849 outlaws infanticide, not consensual abortion. People younger than 18 seeking gender-affirming care in Wisconsin will keep getting it. Governor Evers today vetoed a ban passed by the state legislature this fall. Most major medical associations say gender-affirming care is evidence-based and saves lives. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A convicted murderer is once again appealing her case weeks after a Dunn County judge ruled she would not get a new trial. The attorneys for Ezra McCandless have filed to take the case to the state appeals court. McCandless was sentenced to life in prison for the stabbing death of her ex-boyfriend, Alex Woodworth, and her lawyers have argued the trial was compromised because her interviews with police were done illegally. Two of three appeals court judges would have to agree for a new trial or hearing. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting that COVID-19 hospitalizations in the northwest region of the state are on the rise. A report for November 11th to the 25th showed that COVID-19 hospitalizations in the region have increased by 35% as colder weather often brings more illness and more risk of transmission with everybody inside. The DHS is also reminding residents that COVID vaccines are still available through their health care providers or pharmacies.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a bit warmer today. We'll get to around 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 50. By Friday, partly cloudy and breezy with a high near 48. We are going to drop back into the 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Piece of breaking news that literally just came in, very sadly. There was a shooting, an active shooter, at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Here's what we know about that. The suspect is dead. The shooter is dead. They still have not released or not sure of the number of injured or dead. And here is the amazing thing. Just now, the Republicans filibustered an attempt by Chuck Schumer to revive the assault weapon ban that was passed in 1994. In 1994, it was passed. It was only passed for 10 years, and it expired in 2004. And when it was passed in 1994, the NRA supported it. Let me tell you something else. Back in the 1930s, when the NRA was formed, they didn't even support the notion that everybody should have a gun. Then things changed, but by 1994, they still supported an assault weapon ban. What is an assault weapon ban? It bans certain semi-automatic weapons and large-capacity ammunition magazines. But what just happened was Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming got up on his hind legs. He blocked it. He falsely said that it was an attempt to criminalize lawful gun owners. That's not true. Let me tell you something. There have been 39 mass shootings already before this one. This is the 40th in 2023 so far. You know, what, three a month? More than that? There are a lot of things, a lot of guns that lawful gun owners can't own. One of them is a machine gun. They can't own a machine gun. You can actually put in for a special permit to have a machine gun, but you will be put through the ringer by the government as to your background, why you need it, where you're going to use it, and so forth. And most people don't pass that. Lawful gun owners can't own shoulder-held missiles. They can't own nuclear weapons or biological weapons. They can't own stingers. If somebody wanted to own one of those things and got it on the black market, they go to prison, and they should go to prison. The idea is that there's some guns that are different from the muskets of 1788. I think that people should own guns. I think that people under the Second Amendment is an important amendment. Why do I say that? because prior to the American Revolution, in Europe, peasants were forbidden to have weapons. The kings and the aristocrats did not want peasants or just average servants on their estate to have swords or anything that could be used as a weapon against them. The idea in our Constitution under the Second Amendment was a liberal idea, is that people can be trusted. And that's important for people not to have their weapons taken away from them by the king. In this case, it would be the new president. But those were weapons that were reloadable muskets that took about a minute. You had to put the ball and the powder in. They were very imprecise. People basically used them for food, shoot deer, that kind of thing. Over time, there's nobody listening to the show, unless you're mentally ill, that thinks that individual private people should be able to own nuclear weapons. Elon Musk should not be able to own a nuclear weapon. Neither should Jeff Bezos. Nobody in his right mind thinks that Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos should own biological or chemical weapons. Nobody in his right mind thinks that Elon Musk or Bezos or anybody else should be able to own Stingers, any shoulder-held missiles, or else you'd have people renting apartments near Mitchell Field in Milwaukee and shooting down commercial airliners. Nobody in his right mind thinks that people should be able to own machine guns. Everybody, including me, thinks that people should be able to own normal weapons. However, what is an assault rifle? They finally outlawed bump stocks, but an assault weapon that can fire multiple rounds quickly with large ammunition magazines is more of a machine gun than the machine guns that they had in the 1930s that Elliot Ness and all the agents would have. They kick open a door, and they were a joke compared to assault weapons right now. The assault weapon ban and bans on large capacity ammunition magazines was passed in 1994. It was the law of the land for 10 years, till 2004. During that time, there was a significant reduction in mass shootings. If you want an assault weapon, this ban should be continued. That's what Schumer tried to do. If you want an assault weapon, it should be the same as a machine gun. Go in, say, I want an assault weapon. But you're not going to get mentally ill kids getting them. You're not going to get drug cartels getting them. You're not going to get terrorists getting them. You're not going to get Hamas, people who hijack and blow up airlines, getting them. They will put you through a grueling background check and a grueling interview as to why you want it, what your history is, and go ahead. But assault weapons should be once again banned the way machine guns are banned. That doesn't mean you can't have one. But go try getting a machine gun. Go ahead, try it. Ain't gonna happen. And now from Nevada today, we get this. From Nevada today, we get a mass shooting on a university grounds. The guy who did it, the shooter, is dead. The shooter's dead. They're still counting the bodies, the injured. I'm really tired when there is something that worked in 1994 when Bill Clinton was president, significantly reduced mass shootings, and people like Barrasso, who I think, by the way, is a medical doctor. Barrasso lies and says, you are going to criminalize gun owners. I'm not criminalizing them by saying they can't have a machine gun. I'm not criminalizing them by saying they can't have a nuclear weapon. They can have plenty of stuff. Just not that. I want to get to Tommy Tuberville. Everybody goes, oh, Tuberville. He lifted his hold. No, he didn't. He listed it to anybody 3 stars and below. Here are the people that he's still holding. And for the first time, I heard Liz Cheney in an interview say that because these are the senior people, he may be doing it to try to give Trump a chance to appoint crooked ones that would be pro-Trump. Now, I've always poo-pooed that because the service academies are very honest, very, very dedicated to civilian rule, but you may occasionally get a rotten apple, and he's down to about 11 of them. These make me deeply suspicious. Number one, he is blocking the promotion of anybody to be the commanding officer of our Pacific Fleet. That would be the 3rd and the 7th Fleets. That's an historic fleet. John McCain's father was an admiral. He was the CO of the fleet in the Pacific when his son was captured, and the Viet Cong and the NVAs knew it, and they tortured his son more than most. And yet, heroically, John McCain Sr. did his job as commanding officer of the Pacific Fleet. And the Chicken Hawk, the traitor, the Confederate sympathizer, the white supremacist Tuberville, who one person in the Bush administration said he's not in the human race, is not permitting us to have a commanding officer of the Pacific Fleet. He's stopping the commanding officer of the Air Command for the U.S. Pacific Command, not just ships, but planes in the Pacific, with China doing what it's doing. Commander for the Air Combat Command, the head of the Navy's nuclear propulsion program, the head of the Northern Command, which protects the United States and Canada, and we liaison with Canada and the Bahamas. The head of the U.S. Cyber Command. We're being hacked all the time. He won't let a commanding officer of that. Vice Chief of Staff for the Navy, Air Force, Army, and Space Command. This traitor to the United States, this Chicken Hawk, Tuberville, is blocking that. And I saw an interview with John Warner of Virginia, whom I think very highly of. And he just said, well, Tuberville has the power to do it. I wish he would stop. Warner, he doesn't have the power to do it. You've given him the power to do it. The Constitution doesn't say he has the power to do it. The Constitution says majority rule. You, every Democrat and every Republican, and they're the worst because they are filibustering. It would only take 9 Republican votes to let these positions be filled. And there are 51 Democrats or independents voting with the Democrats. Not a single one will say that we should have a commanding officer of the Pacific Fleet or the Cyber Command or the command that protects the United States or the head of our nuclear propulsion program. Not a single one, because you're all too damned vain. You want to think that any one of you can do anything and you're no damn good. Any one of you is no damn good. I want these positions filled and I want them to gang up on Tuberville the way they ganged up on Al Franken. And I want it now. And I want people to talk about this and call your senator, but especially the Republicans who won't even give 9 filibuster breaking votes. All right, coming up. All right, I'm going to calm down. Coming up, the fake elector lawsuit. Gina Beauclair wants us to talk about it. The settlement, we're going to talk about it.
Cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight.
93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a civil lawsuit brought against the fake electors by a lawyer, Jeff Mandel. He's a great, great election lawyer. He did it on behalf of Democratic voters and two Biden electors. And it just settled. It was supposed to go to trial in September, just before the presidential election. I have questions about the settlement, but also a recommendation. Let me tell you what it settled. It had originally asked for $2.4 million. It asked for $2.4 million in damages and for a number of other things. And in the settlement, here's what it got. They get no money. They don't get their attorney's fees paid. The 10 electors, the fake electors, one of them is Spindell, Bob Spindell, who's really bad news, and he's still on the Wisconsin Election Commission. He's still voting as a commissioner on how to run elections, and he was a fake elector. He should be prosecuted. He shouldn't be on the Wisconsin Election Commission. Here's what they all agreed. First, they admitted that their actions were to overturn the election. Number two, they admitted that Biden won the election. Number three, they agreed that they will withdraw their crooked filing. Number four, they agreed not to be electors in 2024 and never be elector if Trump is on the ballot as the candidate. Five, they will help the Department of Justice and also the Democrats regarding their suit, which still continues against two lawyers, Troupas and Chesbro. Remember him, Chesbro? Number six, they also released 600 documents having to do with their crooked scheme. In one of them, one of the fake crooked electors said, this whole thing is possibly a steal, but there would be a target on my back if I don't go along with it. One of the electors basically understood that this was wrong, steal, but he was afraid for his physical safety. I'll tell you what, some people have asked, what do I think about the settlement? Well, there's a definition in law that a good settlement is a settlement where both parties are unhappy with it. In this one, what was successfully obtained was that these fake electors have to agree to cooperate in a lawsuit against Troupas and Chesbro, which still continues. That was not settled. And that's very big. Number two, they turned over 600 documents, which they hadn't done before, which will help Jack Smith, help Fannie Willis, it'll help the Attorney General of Michigan against the state electors there. Number three, they agree. And you can say, Matt, isn't it true that all they did was say, we were wrong and we won't do it again? How many people get off like that? Well, it's expensive to wage lawsuits. And even though Jeff Mandel is a great lawyer, it's expensive to wage a lawsuit. There are discovery expenses, there's attorney time and all that. And the odds are that he and his clients agreed that it was more important to get their cooperation against Troupas and Chesbro and to get them to admit, to withdraw their filing, say it was wrong, and turn over these documents. And I'm not going to second guess that. Mandela is a public interest firm. I'm sure it gets contributions from people, and I'm sure that people can afford to contribute to it. But at some point, if they can achieve their objective somehow, they achieved it, and this is a successful result for him. Now, this leaves open one other thing, and I was invited by my good friend and a great co-host, Todd Albo, to appear briefly on his show. We talked about this earlier today. And this is a dynamite setup for Josh Call. There is now a written document, this exhibit number one, that says these people said that they did it to overturn the election. They admit that Biden is the president and was duly elected. They will not be an elector again for Trump ever, and they won't be an elector for anybody in 2024. And they will cooperate against Chesbro and against Troupas. Now, if you're a prosecutor, how much more do you need? You have exhibit number one. You show that to the judge and the jury. Number two, Fannie Willis, who is fighting a really tough fight against people who are out to get her in Georgia, has already talked about Wisconsin, contacts with Wisconsin as part of the scheme. And she's correctly brought her suit under a conspiracy statute, which is available in Wisconsin, where as long as you're part of it, what you did didn't have to occur in that state. Didn't have to occur in Georgia. Here, it occurred in Wisconsin. They're talking about it in Georgia. They're talking about it in Jack Smith's case. And Josh Call would not be the last of the Mohegans on this thing. The fake electors got prosecuted in Michigan. They're getting prosecuted in Georgia. There's an investigation in Nevada and Arizona against the fake electors. What do you want? Join the parade. Prosecute these 10 people. A civil settlement is not binding on a prosecutor. It's not a criminal settlement. And while you're at it, why don't you toss in Ron Johnson, Fitzgerald, and Voss? Look, I got to calm down on this. Here's the deal. When you have a thing where there's a conference room given to you in the Capitol, which you're not supposed to have, and the orders have gone out, keep it quiet. The minute you hear keep it quiet, make it secret, shut it up, the minute that happens, experienced prosecutors' ears perk up. The jury can be told that. They go, hey, if this was on the up and up, why'd you try to keep it quiet? And you go, it isn't on the up and up. Here's exhibit one. They just signed it saying what they did was overturn the election and all they've done is won't do it again. Well, what more do you want as evidence? What more do you want as evidence? I see you on the lines. I see you on the lines. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn create an uproar, which I join in. I cannot believe their testimony. If you're on the lines, do not hang up. I will get back to you very shortly.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The 10 Wisconsin Republican electors who falsely voted for Donald Trump in 2020 are admitting it was part of an effort to subvert the state's election results. In a civil lawsuit settlement announced today, the fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College next year. It's the first time any pro-Trump electors anywhere are admitting wrongdoing. The Wisconsin Senate's top Republican says he's hopeful but not optimistic his party can find agreement with Democrats on middle-class tax cuts next year. Devin Lemahieu says the state will likely have a $4 billion surplus to work with.
That's just hardworking people's money sitting in our coffers, earning interest at least. Interest rates are good, but you know it's important to give that money back to the taxpayers.
Lemahieu spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A school bus rolled off the road and onto its side in the town of Anson on Tuesday afternoon. According to Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District Superintendent Jeff Holmes, the bus was carrying Jim Falls Elementary School students on 205th Street when the crash occurred. Four students and the driver were reportedly hurt in the crash, with two of the students and the driver being taken to local hospitals for evaluation and treatment with non-life-threatening injuries. The cause of the crash is under investigation. The 10 Republicans who posed as fake electors and falsely claimed former President Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin in the 2020 election have settled a civil lawsuit against them. The fake electors acknowledged in the settlement that their actions were part of an effort to overturn President Joe Biden's victory and have agreed not to serve as presidential electors in 2024 or for any other election with Donald Trump on the ballot. There's no known criminal investigations into the fake electors at this time. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks, 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy and a bit warmer today. We'll get to around 41 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high near 50. By Friday, partly cloudy and breezy. With a high near 48, we are going to drop back into the 30s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
I'm
Mickey Mantle and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Randall the Portage, my friend. Thanks for calling, Randall. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. I know we've, on this program, disparaged Josh Call's approach to the fake electors, but I feel I understand his master plan, and it is brilliant. All it requires is that you just wait long enough, they'll confess, and they'll walk themselves into the precinct, into the jail, and lock the door behind them. You just got to wait long enough.
You're good, Randall. And the thing is, the only thing I'd say is I'm not trying to disparage anyway, but I'm saying that analytically, these 10 people broke the law. And their kind are being prosecuted in Michigan, in Georgia, and they're about to be prosecuted in Arizona and Nevada. Why aren't they being prosecuted here? I mean, give me a break. And frankly, look, Ron Johnson had the electors, the fake Michigan electors, for Pete's sake, he doesn't represent Michigan, and Wisconsin electors in his pocket. And he told his chief of staff to get him to Pence's chief of staff to try to throw this thing into the House. That's a criminal offense. These were fake. He knew they were fake. Fitzgerald, I think, was the Senate leader at the time, congressman-elect, and then, of course, Voss, speaker. They set up a conference room, and there were elaborate instructions. Don't talk about it. Keep it secret. It wasn't listed on any kind of bulletin board or marquee as to what's there, why they're there. That is sufficient in a conspiracy to implicate you. To implicate you. They provided the ground for the conspiracy to meet to do their illegal thing. And now there is a, hey, come on. There is Exhibit 1. There's a signed agreement. The signed agreement goes, hey, yeah, we did it. We won't do it again. We'll never be a Trump elector again. We'll cooperate. Okay, you will. You'll cooperate against Troopas and you'll cooperate against Chesbro. But this is civil. That is not a settlement of a criminal case. Josh obviously has the law on his side. Now he has the facts on his side. I mean, you know, it's like you carry a dead body into court and you say he done killed him. And they go, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Is that a dead body? Yes, it absolutely is a dead body. Thanks for calling very much. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Bill?
One more time. I want you to school me on legalities. There's such a thing as a deposition, correct? And when somebody, sure, under a deposition, you take an oath to the office. Is that correct? I mean,
you take an oath to tell the truth, fine. To tell the truth, yeah.
Right, to tell the truth. Now, my question on a deposition, does that have to go in the means of a courtroom, or can that go out to anybody to challenge them on that? And I'll get to my point after you answer the question, because I don't know the law like you do.
Yeah, a deposition.
Deposition issued.
Yeah, what happens is in a civil case, a lawyers, and I've done hundreds of these or more, you send a notice of deposition, and you give a date and a time, usually in your office, and the other guy may call and say, well, Matt, that's not a good time. Can you do it 2 days later? I say, sure, fine. Your lawyer is supposed to agree. The guy shows up, the witness in my office. I have a court reporter. There's a whole bunch of people who are court reporters, and they are notaries. They are entitled to administer oaths. So they say, raise your hand, please, sir. He raises his hand. They say, do you promise to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? He says, I do. At that point, if he lies, it's a felony. It doesn't matter where it's held. I've held depositions in offices. I've held depositions in rented rooms, held depositions in hotel conference rooms. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't have to physically be. There's no judge there. It is simply a court reporter who is licensed to be a notary. He raises his hand and says, he or she says, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. Now, here's the deal. If you lie in a civil deposition, in a civil case, even though it's a felony, in my entire experience, I've never seen anyone prosecuted for it. Why is that? Because prosecutors have so much to do, and there's so many weaselly ways to try to defend it that they don't prosecute them as a matter of prosecutorial discretion. Now, if he lies and you prove it at trial that he lies with other evidence, it kills him at the trial. So, Bill, there you go. You're on the line again, Bill. Go ahead. One more shot at me. Bill of Oconomowoc.
Here's where I'm going with the deposition, Matt. I would love to look Ron Johnson in the eye and say, will you testify in a deposition that you did not carry fake electoral votes? Well, he's going to say, no, I won't testify. I said, okay, so then you're admitting guilt. You're admitting guilt because if you're trying to tell us this three-second rule that he keeps talking about, say, well, okay, maybe you're right, Ron. Go for it. Put your hand up to testify, and you're done. You're free. But he won't take that. We know that because he knows he's guilty. Ron Johnson is not dumb enough to commit a felony, right?
Well, here's the deal. Right. Look, he doesn't deny he gave them to his chief of staff. His chief of staff called Pence. Pence's chief of staff. Pence's chief of staff said, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't think, but if you want him under oath, I'll give you a much better way to get him under oath. Josh Call convenes a grand jury or a John Doe, and he subpoenas Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson must show up. Ron Johnson doesn't have to testify, but he'd have to take the Fifth Amendment. He'd have to say, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. So there you'd have Ron Johnson, and Josh Call would say to him, did you have the fake electors in your pocket? And if he says yes, he's part of the conspiracy. If he says no, he's committed perjury. And that, by the way, is in a criminal case. They do prosecute that. And if he says, I take the Fifth, then, you know, people in Wisconsin basically don't like to elect guys who take the Fifth. However, believe this or not, in Florida they did. This guy, Rick Scott, CEO of one of the largest healthcare companies in the country, that was indicted for Medicaid fraud. They paid over $1 billion in fines. There's a grand jury, it's a criminal case, grand jury. Scott was brought in. He was asked about it. He said, I refuse to answer on the grounds it might incriminate me. They didn't proceed against him. He goes to Florida. He runs for governor. They go to him. All right, but didn't you take the Fifth? I think it was in Tennessee or wherever it was. And you know what he said? He said, yeah, I didn't want to. I wanted to tell the truth. It was my lawyers, those dirty son of a guns. And the people of Florida fell for that. They elected him governor and now senator. And he is a open wound in the Senate. He is a malignant cell in the Senate. Bill, I personally don't think that Wisconsin voters would fall for that, but they did for it. They fell for it in Florida. All right, I want to talk about this. This really frosted me. Yesterday, the president of Harvard University, MIT, and the University of Pennsylvania, three excellent colleges, testified in Congress about inquiries into anti-Semitism on their campuses and what they're doing to control it. And this question was asked for them. There are instances of people marching on your campuses, bullying Jewish students, and calling for the genocide and killing of Jews. And the question is, does that constitute bullying and harassment such that it warrants discipline in your college? And you know what they said, all three of them? They said that is context dependent. It depends if it's directed to an individual, if it's pervasive, and if it's severe. That is disgusting. These three people should be fired. To say that people marching and intimidating students, in one case they surrounded him and hit him, It's context dependent, and it has to be pervasive. These mobs are beating, they have bullhorns outside of classrooms and keeping kids from entering buildings. Severe. What's more severe than saying you and your kind should be killed? And it's pervasive, severe, context dependent, and directed at individual. How about the individuals they beat up? It's directed at individual. These three women do not want to do anything. Some of them are intimidated by the mob. And one of them, the president, is Claudine Gay of Harvard, professor of African American studies, spent her childhood in Saudi Arabia. Some of our allegedly most prestigious universities are simply hotbeds of anti-Semitism. Kids are being bullied. And in some cases, the faculty is joining in on it. There was a professor in an endowed chair of Michigan who advocated violence against Jews. There's a professor at the University of California, one of the campuses, who said that, quote, Zionist journalists support Israel. We know their children's names, their schedules, and where they live. None of these people are being fired. They should be fired. These three presidents should be fired. The students and faculty members who do this should be expelled and fired. And if they're not citizens, they should be sent back overseas. They should be deported. This is evil. If you had the Oath Keepers going to Harvard and beating drums on the campus saying, kill black people, what do you think they would do? Or kill gay people? Or kill Latinos? What do you think they would do? I know what they would do. These are no longer our best universities. They're simply our oldest universities. Harvard and Yale are over 300 years old. So is William and Mary. At one time, they were the only universities. So now what? They're suddenly great universities? The hell with them. If they are complicit in anti-Semitism like that, the heck with them. Jack of Racine, my friend, you're on the line. What's your mind, Jack?
Hi. Well, your recent conversation there kind of perked my interest. I watched some of the college group presidents talking, and I heard a couple questions, but I really haven't researched it real closely. But there's something nebulous about this issue from the river to the sea. I mean, and that's what I heard in the clip that I heard about the college professors. And, you know, there are different opinions. An opinion of an Israeli talking, that meant genocide. An opinion of Muslim, I'm not sure what country, I think for the U.S., that didn't mean genocide. That was just asking for some rights. It wasn't a total driving Israelis out of current Israel. So I don't know. I'm wondering, you know, how you... What do you think about that? It seems a little nebulous to me.
Yeah, I'm not talking about from the river to the sea. I'm talking about people selling Kill the Jews. K-I-L-L-T-H-E. I'm saying that. The river to the sea is the Red Sea to the Mediterranean, and that's wrong too, but I'm not talking about that. It's not at all nebulous when you say kill the Jews, and three college presidents go, well, that's context dependent. Have I say let's kill the presidents of these universities, which I wouldn't say. That's not context dependent, but I know what you're saying, that some people are disputing what the Red Sea to the Mediterranean mean, and I don't agree with them. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Coming up, do not hang up. Coming up, we have Section 702, surveillance, a hot item in the Senate. I think that it should be renewed. Coming up.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to get you in order. Do not hang up. Todd or Billy from Madison, my friend, you're first. What's your mind, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Todd. It's Todd or Billy. Hey, Matt. Good to talk to you. It's such a complicated issue, and, I think it's totally valid to be very frustrated with the Israeli government, the Netanyahu regime. But I think the strongest point that has really made an impression on me is just kind of thinking about and understanding that there's one Jewish state in the world. As an American, I think that the separation of church and state is not only a good idea for America, I think it's a good idea, period. However, in the world, we have many Muslim states, many Christian states. I wish we didn't. I wish we had separation of church and state everywhere. But there are many of those, and there is only one Jewish state. And so it's really hard to say, well, there shouldn't be a Jewish state unless, you get in line and eliminate all those others first, because, to single out the one Jewish state as problematic is really not fair, because there are, dozens and more than 100 Christian states and Muslim states. And it's a really tough problem, but, you have to respect the fact that that's a unique situation in the world, that there is only one Jewish state.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Todd or Billy. I mean, I'll say you this, there's complete freedom of religion in Israel. They welcome everybody. And the fact of the matter is there are 9 million people in Israel, and there's about 2 million Arabs who are not Jewish, and they treat everybody well. They went to Ethiopia, and they got some refugees out and brought them in. So, and they're our ally, a strong ally of the United States. They are part of the West. They are part of democracy. They are a democracy, and there are plenty of other fine people over there. But Israel is a fine country. I appreciate your call. Karina in Milwaukee. Thanks for calling, Karina. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question about that. And that I always, one side of the deal, I think it's just simply wrong to advocate to kill any kind of people, period. Second, none of your business what kind of religion and what kind of state and what's going on in term of government in Israel. I mean, who the heck are you to tell them what to do? One, two, and three, I really want clarification if you can. Those three ladies are very vague, even though they consider to be an educated people. How can you reply? Because obviously they're going by the notion of a speech of freedom. saying, okay, people want to say it, how can you stop them? There is a Nazi parade in Madison, how can we stop them? There is the freedom of speech. Can you explain what is the way to really truly handle that? It's not even to specific people, but the people in general.
Okay, here's the deal. On all of these campuses, there have been kids, Jewish kids, beaten up. There have been people that have roamed through restaurants in Manhattan and grabbed diners out and beaten them up on the street. There's a guy at a protest in California who was killed. There was a kid down in New Orleans who had his nose broken. This is not a case of a Nazi parade in Madison where people in general around them don't sympathize and they technically let them do it, or in Skokie, Illinois back, I don't know, 40 years ago. This is a pervasive Kristallnacht Germany in the 30s environment in our universities. People have a right to freedom of speech. They don't have a right to occupy buildings. They don't have a right to vandalize a library in New York simply because it was donated by a Jewish philanthropist. They do not get to surround a business, a restaurant in Philadelphia, and deter people from getting in. These are students and faculty, some of them not citizens. Somehow we thought it was a good idea to bring them in. I do not think it was a good idea to bring them in. And you round them up in a convocation and you say, it's very simple. You have a right to freedom of speech. You can march in orderly fashion. Let us know when and where, just like these parades. And you will not touch anybody. You will keep your shouting down to a certain level. You're not going to be beating drums and all that. And if there is a hint of violence in your speech, you will be arrested. We are not putting up with garbage. So when you say, kill the Jews, Karina, you wouldn't like it if somebody said, let's kill you. And I wouldn't like it either, and I would defend you. This is an incitement to violence. The First Amendment does not protect even heckling. If you go to hear someone else speak and you heckle him, you can be arrested for disorderly conduct and you can't claim that was freedom of speech. You let him speak and then you speak. If you threaten someone with violence, it can be a felony. This is all misunderstood. This is not some foreign country. This is America. You do not get to threaten people. These, when you say kill the Jews or kill anybody else, that is a felony. You should be arrested. These three clowns in the university should be fired. None of them has any distinction in publishing or anything intellectual at all that merits that position. And what we are doing is permitting the creation of pervasive Germany Kristallnacht type of society at our universities, and it's spreading. And it is anti-Semitic, and we're not going to tolerate it. And if people don't like it who came here from someone else, they can get the hell out. That's what they can do. We like people coming to the United States who love the United States. I don't like anybody coming to the United States who hates the United States and spreads violence. Coming to the end of the show, stand by for a lot of great news and weather, and also another great show. Devil's Advocate with Dominic Crute, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the